us, and it's just a great blessing that we have them. And Father, we pray now that you would just open our eyes and ears, and that we would hear what the Spirit has to talk to us about this morning. And Father, we just keep those that are traveling in your, we pray that you would just give them grace to travel wherever they're going to this morning. Father, we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. That traveling mercies is something else, and I'll tell you what, at any moment in time, you take your eye off the road for a brief second, gone. I mean, you could be gone like that. I mean, praise the Lord. Somebody's praying, because I was getting on the Skyway the other day in the morning. We're working 12 hours, and it's just your mind's not there. You get sick, and you're just dizzy, and man, I came real close to hitting that big X. I swerved and just barely missed it, and man, that would have been a life taker, I think. But a guy that morning got in an accident, hit the side of one of the walls, ripped his whole side of his car, you know, crinkled the whole thing, ripped his mirror off. Another pipe fitter the same morning on the way to work got killed. Yeah, same morning. Unbelievable, though. So we need to keep people in their prayers as they travel on these roads, because the driving is one of the most dangerous things you can do besides getting up on a stepladder. And so, anyway, that's my rant for this morning here. We're in the book of 1 John, first epistle general of John. It's chapter 2. We'll finish this chapter today, and brief overview of the next three chapters, and hopefully get out of here a little early this morning. The last time we met, we got up through verses 27 of chapter 2. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Okay, so we got through this verse, but a brief review here. What John is writing, who he's writing to here, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Okay, he's writing to Christians here in 1 John. And you see that in 1 John 2:26. And he's warning Christians that there are individuals in the world that will seduce you and that are seducing you. They are seducing you. And if you're saved, you do not have to be seduced by another man or another spirit or even yourself. Why? Because you have inside you the Holy Spirit, and you have inside you, he's the anointing which you received of Jesus Christ the moment you believed on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was promised back in John 16. We all remember those verses. We'll go back and read them real quick. John 16, it was promised there. John 16, verses 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." What's the Holy Spirit here? He hears the words of God. Does he not? And that's what he's going to show you. He's going to show you, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He'll show you prophetical things that are going to come your way. And they're going to come to this earth. And then they're going to come before the Lord comes back. And he's going to show you things that are going to come after he comes back. All things, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall receive of mine. Words of God. And he will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And so you go back to 1 John here, and you see that, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Right? So that the we know the Holy Ghost is in us. That's the Comforter. Jesus told us what the Comforter would do, and that's what the Comforter does. He does exactly what the Lord told us he was going to do. And so the Comforter will keep you from being seduced. He will. But you have to rely on him. You cannot rely on men. If you rely on men, you're going to have the tendency to take what they say and not what God says. So we got to keep that in our conscience here. We got to keep our we got to rely on the Lord. We got to rely on what he has given us. He's given us the anointing. He's given us a comforter. Apart from the Bible and the Holy Spirit, you have no idea what's right, and you have no idea what's wrong. You don't, and you have no idea what the truth is, and you don't have any idea what error is without the Holy Spirit, without the Comforter. And so, who are you relying on for the truth? Is it the pastor? Is it the Bible teacher? Folks, I'm just putting this out there. Who are you relying on to get the truth to you? And who are you relying on to get the truth to your kids? Right? Is it the pastor? Is it the Bible teacher? Is it you? We all want to be a position of authority. Now we got authority. We got kids. We got authority over our kids. Do we want to be their teacher? Or do we want the Holy Spirit to be their teacher? And so... And if you're relying on you, and you're relying on the pastor, and you're relying on a teacher, folks, that's dangerous ground. It is, okay, and that's the truth. That's the truth, and we need to rely on the Lord for the truth. And the correct answer should be that we rely on the Holy Spirit of God, and the Word of God, to verify everything that is being taught and everything that we are learning from others, whether it's the teacher, whether it's the pastor, or whether it's people around us, mom and pops, right? But we need to verify whatever's being taught. And folks, that's the way it has to be, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Why? Because other men and other women can seduce you. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We're warned throughout the Bible here. Second Timothy 3:13. I'm sorry, I got there before you. The Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There we see men deceiving. They're seducing. Look, if you would, in Revelations 2:20. This is why it's important we rely on God, Revelation 2:20, because you don't know what the pastor, if you don't know what he's teaching is right, if you don't have the Word of God, and if you're not listening to the Spirit that's inside of you if you're saved, Revelation 2:20. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. It's not just the men seducing through teachings. It's the women seduced through teachings. And that's what the Bible says. And that's why we need to have our trust. That's why we need to rely on God. And he gives us his words to verify everything that he's telling us. If you think, well, did that come from the Spirit of God? Look it up. Look it up. You'll find out real quick what spirit you're getting things from. Right? And so the only thing you have is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost inside of you if you're saved. That's all you have to verify what's being taught, folks. That's all we have. And you can't rely on yourself, because as we went through last time, you could deceive yourselves. We can deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves with sin. We can deceive ourselves with judgment. And we can deceive ourselves with the truth, about the truth. We can think that I have the truth, and we don't. Did we verify it? And that's why it's so important to rely on the God that's in you and his words for verification for everything. And that's whether it be in the church, whether it be in the home, or whether it be in the world. And the Bible says that it's the Spirit that quickeneth, right? The flesh profiteth nothing. And so we don't need man. We need God. We need God to teach us. And sometimes he's going to use other men, but we have to verify, okay? But not only that, folks, spirits can seduce. Spirits can seduce, right? 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about that. We got to be careful. Try the spirits, the Bible says, whether they be of God. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter day times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Right? We got to be careful. We got to watch what we're trusting in here. What spirit? So that's that. Got to be careful of spirits. We got to be careful of men. We got to be careful of women. Not careful, but we got to be mindful and verify these things and rely on the Lord. Verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The Bible says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and it is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, ye shall abide in him. Now, folks, there is coming the day, and we all know that there's a day coming, that our whole being shall abide in the Lord. That's the body, that's the soul, and that's the spirit. And that's the day of his return, when Jesus Christ returns. And that's when your body will be redeemed and be changed into a sinless state. It will be a sinless body, right? That's when your soul will have no more struggle to choose to walk after the flesh or to walk in the spirit. No more troubles, right? There's no more war after that. And that's when the redemption is complete for a believer today. That's when the redemption is complete. And we know this because the Bible says it. The Bible says this. It's going to happen. And if you've placed trust in the Lord Jesus, that is going to happen to you. But what about now? What about now? Right? We know that's going to happen. It says in verse 27, ye shall abide in him. It's going to happen one day, but that's not now. It's not now. What about the present? Verse 28, and now, little children, this is who he's talking to, little children, Christians, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So again, here you have to make this division between the body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. The Bible says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Okay? And so, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. And so, and it's your spirit that is regenerated the moment you believed. It's regenerated. Titus. Titus 3:5. We'll start in verse 4. "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness what we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And so, there's a spirit there, right? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Now, some people say that they're different. I don't see the difference there, but it appears to me that it's the same, except when they come into you and it's joined to you, it's called the Holy Ghost. That's what it appears. I might be wrong on that, but there is. Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost, and they're two separate sayings and spelled differently and all that stuff, so there might be something to that, but I don't know what it is. But your spirit, soul, and body, once you're saved, is saved from hell, folks. It is, okay? And the lake of fire. Now, right? Does everybody agree with that? And there is a struggle that's going on inside of your body, right? There's a struggle going on inside there if you're saved. Your body is the house for the soul. That's what your soul is clothed with. It's clothed with a flesh. That's what keeps you visible. Or nobody would be able to see you, right? So your body is... it's this little thing that God formed, or, you know, you were created in a womb, but originally God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, so he made a little clay figure, right, and breathed into it, and then up it started walking and breathing, and became a living soul. But there needs to be a redeeming, folks. There needs to be a redeeming. You're not completely redeemed on this earth. And if you were, then your soul and your spirit wouldn't be groaning. There's something inside you groaning for this redemption to happen. And that's found in Romans 8:3. Something inside you is groaning, or 8:23. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Our body, right? Who's the we? Spirit and soul. There's three, you're three parts. Just like the Lord has three parts to him, so do you, right? And so... folks, your body doesn't make any decisions on its own. It doesn't. For without the soul and the spirit, the body's dead. It's dead. It doesn't have any life to it. And so it doesn't make any decisions on its own. It's just dust without that. We know that. God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, right? Did it talk to God at that point? Did it communicate with God at that point? No. It needed something else. Breath of life, living soul. Okay? And so, the body doesn't make any decisions without itself. Now, it's the soul, folks, that makes the decisions for the body. It's the soul. And the soul finds that there's a war going on between this body, between the spirit and the body. That's found in Romans 7. Romans 7. Starting verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Yeah, there we go. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which it was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Okay, so something happened there and died. Verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Okay? Move up a few verses. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Right? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Right? Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Right? There's a war going on there, folks. O wretched man that I am, Paul says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There's a reason why your spirit and soul are groaning, folks. They don't want to fight no more. They don't want to have this struggle. Your soul doesn't want to have this struggle. And your spirit wants you to go the way that the Holy Spirit's going. And until you get a new body, struggle, war, right? Struggle and war. The spirit wants you, the soul, to walk in Him. And the body wants you to walk after it. That's the war. And whichever one that you yield to, whichever one that the soul yields to, is where the soul will abide. It's where it's going to abide. And your soul is walking in the flesh regardless of whether you walk after the flesh or not. The Bible's clear on that. That's your home for now, right? But you don't have to yield to the flesh and walk after it. You have to walk in it, but you don't have to walk after it. And we've been given power not to do that. However, if the soul, that's the you, real you inside of you, chooses to walk after the flesh, that is the body of this death, know this. It's not you, the soul, that gets charged with the sin, but the body of this death. Because that's where the sin is. Verse 20 of Romans 7. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it. Even though the choice, you made that choice. Right? It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You don't get charged with that. Why? Because there's an operation that took place at the moment of your salvation. And you're no longer attached to that. There's a circumcision that's been made that's cut the real you away from the body of this death. And however, that real you still makes these choices. still makes these choices, okay? And so it's not, you don't get charged with it. Why? Because you're paid for. Sin is paid. It's been nailed to the cross. It's been nailed to the cross. But the body will pay for it here on this earth. And so there's some fail safes that have been put in place by the Lord, folks. And it's been given to you by the Lord God to keep you saved, right? One of them was that operation. Another one was the Holy Spirit has sealed you till the day of redemption. He sealed you through that operation. And so the Lord has sealed every believer until the day of redemption and has given us power to make the right choice. And when the soul makes the wrong choices, guess what happens? The soul doesn't abide in the Lord. You can't. You can't abide in the Lord while you're making those wrong choices and sinning. That's why the Bible says to walk in the Spirit. What part of you is to walk in the Spirit? Your body or your soul? The one that's in you with this tug of war going on. Okay? And so your soul doesn't abide in the Spirit. That's where the Lord is. Doesn't abide in there anymore when it chooses to go after the flesh. And that's where our spirit is joined to. It's joined to the Lord, okay? And so we need to keep that in mind. Now, while we choose to walk after the flesh, if you choose to walk after the flesh, folks, and you keep doing this, and you know that the Lord is coming back, right? There's a possibility. Now, I can't prove it, but there is a possibility that you can be ashamed at the Lord's return. I don't know how this verse reads here in 1 John. My English isn't really that good. I didn't do too good in English class. I think I got one A in the entire high school. Verse 28, and now little children, but we do have some teachers, English teachers in here, right? Maybe we can get some light on this. And now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Does that implying that a Christian can be ashamed at Jesus' coming? It seems like it. It seems like it. But there's something, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. I don't know. But there's a possibility there. So we're gonna run with this possibility, okay? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. 1 Thessalians 5:24. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What? 1 Thessalonians 5. What? Well, we know it is going to be preserved blameless, but there is an implication that there could be some blame. Okay, now that's unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. This is... Right. So you could be blameless here while you're on earth unto the coming of... Because we know you're going to be blameless at his coming. But this is... It looks like it's before his coming. Is that what it says? Unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Well, there's rewards that are given to everybody for something. You are going to be rewarded for something. There's got to be something that you're rewarded for. Or why go there? So yeah, the soul gets saved or whatnot. But yeah, it does look like that you can live a blameless life until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or you could be blamed. Because the Bible does say, "It's a study that show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." How would you be ashamed on this earth? Well, if you teach something that isn't in the Bible, and somebody says, "This is wrong, look at this, look at this, look at this," and then you're like blushing in the face, right? And you could be ashamed in front of other people based upon what you know or what you've studied. Yeah, so there's some blame that could be there. And 1 John, it's talking about before him at his coming. So it's like he's coming, he's calling. Part of his first coming is the rapture, right? Or his second coming, I'm sorry. Part of his second coming is the rapture. And so it looks like if you're walking according to the flesh, when the Lord comes back and you're not in the Spirit, it looks like... Now, I mean, we don't put this together here now because we don't have full awareness. And our conscience isn't completely... We don't have full knowledge yet. But when Jesus comes back and we get changed, there's going to be a difference there. And so it looks like if you're walking after the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit, you can be ashamed when Jesus Christ comes back at his appearing. And you'll be ashamed, even if it's for a brief moment in time. It looks like it could be just a twinkle, a moment. You'll know that at that point when Jesus Christ comes back, that you had the power not to be doing what you were doing at that particular moment. Now, we're not talking about an eternity of shame. Jesus didn't save us to that. You're not even going to be thinking about that later on in eternity. But we're talking about when he comes back at that very moment and you have awareness and you're not walking in the Spirit, you will know at that particular point in time, you had all the power in you to walk in the Spirit and not be ashamed when Jesus Christ comes back. You'd be ashamed when you know that you had the stuff available and you didn't use it. And that's, we don't see that now. We don't see that now. We don't have this full awareness now. We don't think about this now. But then you'll know you had everything you needed to do what was required of you, and you'll have the understanding that you chose not to do that. And that'll make you ashamed at that point in time. And there's a nakedness found in Revelation. We'll finish this up next week. Revelation 3, is it 3 or 2? Yeah, Revelation 3. There's somebody that's naked here. Yeah, the Laodiceans church. He says, "I counsel thee," verse 18, "to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." Now, is this what it's talking about? I don't think so. I think this is talking about an unsaved person. But it could be. It could be. Listen. If your soul is not in the Spirit, what's it clothed in? Death. And the Lord can see through that. And this looks like it's something that the Lord is seeing, not everybody else is seeing, but that the Lord is seeing. And you're seeing that he's seeing at the same time. And you're like, ah! And trying to run back into the Spirit, right? Because you don't want to be ashamed when the Lord comes back, because you're going to have knowledge and you're going to have the awareness that you did. He gave you everything to do right. And if you chose to do wrong, man, wish I wouldn't have done that. Right? Let's go ahead and pray there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And thank you, Lord, for the teachings that you give us. And we pray that we would get them right and that we would understand that we don't want to be ashamed at your coming, Lord. And we need to. You've given us the Spirit to walk in, and but then there's also the flesh that wants us to walk after, and we pray that we would just continue to walk in the Spirit, and repent when needed and when we have to get back to that position, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.